Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, second half of the show, as per usual, we got the news on the way, and it's always good. First, I'll tell you about something that's always good as well. Tommy John, I'm wearing mine right now. A lot of underwear brands claim to be big on comfort, but 75% of men and women are dissatisfied with their underwear. Well, not if they're using or wearing Tommy John. These guys are the best. They've been with us for years. You put on Tommy John and you never go back to what you were wearing. That is it. Pure and simple. Over 7 million pairs sold. The customers, 96% of the customers, rate them 4 stars or more. They're so good. The legs never roll up. The waistbands never roll down. Feather light fabric. It's air dries. I wear them when I work out at night. Hang them, dry them, shoot a little talc down there, hit the road the next day. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam now to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. August 17th at the Golden State Theater in Monterey.
This is a fun one. Delusional.
Delusional. I do feel like that's something that's going around more and more these days. Maybe it started with pets. In the past, animals were pretty much either beasts of burden or we ate them. Either you got to pull my fat ass up this canyon side or I'm going to eat you. Or both. When you run out of gas dragging my fat ass up the side of this hill, then I'll eat you.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. In Monterey, August 17th, Golden State Theater. Adam Carolla and Adam Ray. Get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
We've had some bad news of some mass shooting stories in the news, and I don't know that this one is getting a lot of attention, so let's talk about it. It has a silver lining. A month before the deadly shooting spree at an El Paso Walmart, another potential mass shooting in Texas was stopped by a grandmother. So this is finally getting a few headlines. Back in July, a 19-year-old guy from Lubbock informed his grandmother that he'd purchased an AK-47, had plans to shoot up a hotel, then kill himself. This is according to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Told his grandma?
Yeah. The grandmother was able to convince him to go seek treatment at a hospital after she expressed concerns about, you know, his safety, the safety of others. When the authorities searched the hotel room that he had rented, they discovered the AK-47. They discovered 17 loaded magazines. They discovered several knives, tactical gear, a black T-shirt that said, "Let him come." U.S. Attorney Neely Cox said, quote, "This was a tragedy averted. I want to praise the defendant's grandmother who saved lives by interrupting this plot." So got a hold of these people, got him in treatment. And, you know, we don't hear about them much.
Yeah. Horrible job with the parenting, but nice job with the alerting.
with the grandmothering, not the parents.
Not much in the nature of the nurture department, but in terms of dropping a dime, you're the queen of that. Thank you, I guess.
And, well, God knows where the parents are. This was the grandmother.
I know. It's all a fucking mess. We got to get dads back into boys' lives, man. Dads really make an impact. As the dads go, so goes our society. It's a bad. It's weird. No one wants to discuss the dads, you know. But the further the dads get away from the family, the more violence, the more this, the more all the homelessness, like all the drug, all the shit we don't want. The further the dads get away, the more that we get, and we've just decided, well, we're not going to go there. We're going to talk about moms and proud moms and single moms. And my mom worked 17 jobs and we were fine. Like, okay, good. What about dad? Okay. You want to bring it up? Any politicians want to get into dads? It'd be nice.
Mm-mm.
No. Okay, good. So instead, we'll talk about banana clips and leave dad off the fucking table. Well, I want to talk about both. That's my whole thing. Anyway, thanks, Grandma. But
yum.
But bad job with your daughter or son
exactly.
Whatever else you did.
Well, one dad stuck around. Wendy Williams is back in business with her estranged husband.
Can I say this? I feel like she's my black Piers Morgan. who decided she was a big celebrity? Like, hey, did you hear what's up with Wendy Williams? Like, no, I haven't, because I'm not a retarded person. I'm not unemployable. That's why I don't know what's going on. When did she come? I go out during the day and work.
Sorry, I feel she was in once. I feel like she just appeared one day, and then she was always in my life. But I don't know.
Well, she was
I feel like New York. I was in a coma and I woke up and then Wendy Williams was like everywhere.
You're right, because she was kind of the queen of New York radio in that scene, and then she went global.
And I feel the way about her is I feel like if someone said, do you hear what happened with Neapolitan ice cream? And I'd be like,
I'm aware of it. I've heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But aren't you concerned about what's going on with it?
Right.
Like, no, not really. It's
still the three flavors?
I'm smart. I don't like that.
They moved to strawberry, vanilla, strawberry.
Oh, yeah.
And a real controversial move. They lost chocolate, and now, you know.
Sounds better.
That sounds like a hate crime to me. Either way, not interested. So, or almost any form of sherbet. I don't know why it has to be limited to
sherbet or sorbet.
Right. So, I don't know. Like, I watch TMZ.
Yeah.
She pops up every second episode. Yeah. Like, Wendy Williams, she's leaving a hotel. She's upset. It's like, I don't, about what? Who cares? She's a marginal talent.
We gotta know.
I don't get why we need to know about
her.
Suddenly
we gotta know. I'm here to give you the information about Wendy Williams.
What's she doing?
The husband who had the baby.
Has she found love again?
It doesn't look like it.
She lost it. This is good.
Give me a pencil.
Now
to pray.
I'm really invested.
So after a series of emotional heart-to-hearts, excuse me, with her ex, the talk show host has decided to keep
him. Hold on.
Him.
I feel like emotional heart-to-heart. I feel like when Wendy Williams orders chicken at a drive-thru place, it's a very emotional discussion. I feel like there's tears about dipping sauce.
Sure.
She does not have non-emotional
Not just a post-it note conversation.
I went on her fucking show wearing blue jeans and a button-up shirt. She fucking got emotional on me.
She got pissed.
Pissed or emotional?
Well, I mean, I guess I'd argue that's a form.
Passionate.
I'm wearing it's a fucking daytime show. Her viewers are unemployable human beings. That's her entire viewership.
Did she get into it with you on camera or off camera? I really hope it was on camera.
She's a hero. She waited until I left the building and then sent out a tweet calling me a dickwad.
Until James Dixon. She called James Dixon and said,
My client doesn't roll over and get dressed for less than. Yeah, it was a weird thing, right, Brian?
It was very weird. And they sped it up as though to be, you know, kind of funny, but then our crack staff slowed it down.
I don't know what it was. I went on her show. I was just wearing jeans and a button-up shirt. I'm not known as dapper. I'm the guy from The Man Show. And I just wore like a buttoned-up shirt.
You didn't wear your coat and tails.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't wear spats or anything.
Your general gist was you were like unprepared and slovenly.
Basically called me a slob.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
Brian,
why didn't I have the respect for her or her audience to put on a top hat and a monocle or something?
Like the shirt was untucked. Wasn't that a point of contention?
And the point is she got emotional on the way I dress as a guest on her show when I just dress to put on a decent pair of jeans and a decent button-down shirt.
You sound
with a
like amazing.
On it.
Yeah.
I was hot.
Tell us about this heart-to-heart.
The point is she can you have the transcript. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so she filmed a video of herself. It's been taken off the internet, but somebody transcribed the fast-forwarded part. It goes, and you know what? At least if you're going to throw something on like you're going to, you know, change the oil in your Studebaker, that you would at least bring it with, hold on, I'm out of breath and I'm trying to curse him out at the same time. I mean, at least if you're going to dress like a bum to come on a daytime talk show, your attitude wouldn't be so ill-mannered. I mean, just from the top of the show, and I wanted to like him, and I wanted to like him, and I wanted to like him, and I thought that I would. I don't like him, and he's not our kind of people. And how dare him tell me that the white man in the audience wasn't my kind of something. What was he expecting to see when he came out here? The Soul Train line? Oh, I get it, because I'm a black woman. The people who watch my show and make an effort to come to the audience are supposed to be only black people? Oh, no, I get it. If you're anything but a black woman, you're supposed to be a gay man. Oh, I get it. Listen, let me tell you why. Why? I'm sorry. Why am I mad at you? You know,
Chris, just read the script and stop venting. I get it.
I'll start reading.
We have a history, but I really want you to focus on what Wendy said.
His mics are on.
And she gets a lot, though. Keeps saying, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
This is a nutty person. I wore a fucking blue button-up long-sleeve collared shirt and a pair of blue nice jeans that I went on her program. I like
that she lost her breath. She was so worked up talking about you.
Take a knee.
And understanding it. She got it so many times that she had to take a breath. Yeah, she took a knee.
I got to tell you, man. That Wendy Williams... Audience infested with crime and vermin.
Oh,
I'll tell you.
I
think you look great, by the way.
Infested.
Yeah. I have a shirt like that.
I wore leather shoes.
You're wearing shoes?
I'm wearing shoes and everything. I'm not on the Southwest flight. I got my... Okay. Thank you. We're good.
Yeah.
So obviously she's going through something.
Oh, well, we know that. She was living at the halfway house.
Why do we care? She's Wendy Williams.
You know, I'm going to do this just once for you.
All right. Yes.
Oh, wow. We're going to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Cares, thank you.
Wendy. Mm. Fair. So a suit against the Boy Scouts of America that was filed late Monday identifies at least 350 former scouts who say they were abused. The incident has...
Honestly, that's it?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the newest batch that's coming forward. The incidents have taken place over the past 8 decades. A USA Today analyst says, quote, the accused tended to be men of stature in their communities, whom most of them had volunteered as troop leaders, assistant troop leaders. They were police officers, members of the military, teachers, a mayor, doctors, child psychologists.
You want to know what healthy is? I found out that the father-son fantasy football draft is coming up next weekend. I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm fucking hanging out with those fucking kids. This sucks. That's healthy.
Yeah.
Understand? That's positive.
No
being put out is healthy.
Being put out.
Exasperated.
Said it a million times. The way you do all this stuff is you go, all right, dads, let's all get in the room. Who wants to take the 9-year-olds up to Mount Pinos camping this weekend? Ooh, one guy's hand flies up. Bert, you're out. Sorry.
You've been voted off the island, Bert. Yeah.
Jim, you're doing it. Fuck no, I don't want to do it. Yep. This weekend, Hobbs and Shaw's this weekend. You're doing it. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Your hand goes flying up, you're out.
Yep.
That's the way I work.
Well, the Boy Scouts of America has 20 days to respond to this suit. It says it takes the allegations seriously and that as a result of the new accusations, it's already referred 120 reports to law enforcement.
You know, it's got the word boys in it, and it's and they're very, very focused on kerchiefs.
Mm, yeah.
And that's a recipe for pedophilia disaster.
Nice neckerchief.
Start mixing the word boys and kerchiefs.
Yeah. Short shorts.
Knickerbockers.
Yeah, it's bound to happen.
Yeah, and they're facing major declining in membership anyway. Nobody wants to tie sailor knots. They want to play Fortnite. So this could be the end of the Boy Scouts.
Wendy did send me a bottle of champagne saying she had a bad day and regrets her comments later on.
Really?
Which I'm fine with. I appreciate. It still makes her nuts because in a weird way, she went nuts over nothing and then got her faculties back and then sent me a bottle of champagne.
I like someone who's nuts, though, that then kind of just has that moment where they're sitting alone crying in their house and then they're like, maybe I fucked up today, and then they send the, they have their
assistant. Get a bottle of Vouv.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the part of being nuts is being erratic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you get too consistent with your nuttiness, you're a little less nutty. You need to be all over the road, not just on one side or the other. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be erratic. Like, everybody works for Wendy Williams before they enter the threshold of the door of the building they work in has to go, I wonder what kind of fucking mood she's going to be in today.
What violent delights await me in there.
Yeah, like, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons is always just mean.
Right.
But you know exactly what you're getting, and so that's not nuts. That's just me. Eventually, that's just consistent nuts just means mean.
Well, I was thinking that she has a walk-in fridge. She opens up, it's like that hiss, and then inside is just like 1,000 bottles of champagne.
Oh,
and then she reaches in, and she's like, well, fucked up again. And then just it constantly gets replenished, and she's constantly giving the bottles, so she knows what she's doing.
Like, every morning, that's the first interaction with her assistant.
Exactly.
Like, all right, where are we sending the champagne?
Yeah. Yeah. She has a wine cellar, but she doesn't drink.
She gets wine of the month club, and it's for no one but for her guests.
That's right. Yes. All right.
Well, we've been talking about this a little bit off the air, and it's worth it just so you can see the video. A Brazilian gang leader was caught by prison guards in Rio de Janeiro as he tried to escape during visiting hours. His big plan was to walk out the front door of the prison dressed as his daughter and leave her in there. And by the way, he has since apparently committed suicide in his cell. Clavino da Silva, and go ahead and play the video I'll show you. Also known as Shorty, may have gotten away with it if he hadn't appeared nervous in front of the gates. Look at that mask he's wearing.
It's a high-quality mask.
The 42-year-old, he wore this mask, a long, dark-haired wig, jeans, a pink shirt. This is like the end of Scooby-Doo. This is him being unmasked.
It's a Mission Impossible shit.
And he literally, it seems like he meant to leave her in there as he walked out the front door. Mm. Apparently, the plan was to switch him out, but it did not work.
How old's the daughter?
19.
Oh, okay.
He's 42. Mm-hmm. Authorities are looking into whether she was part of the plan, whether she even knew it, but apparently as
at
of
some
today,
point, she must have been aware of something. I don't know.
It's visiting day. Dad, you look different.
Just gonna go home, watch The Office, you know, like young gals do.
He wore a bra. I think that's classy. He wore a bra.
He has
flip-flops, his incredibly hairy feet were the tell. Mm.
And now the if it weren't for you meddling kids moment.
Pulls the mask off.
It's like the worst episode of Mission Impossible. It takes him about 45 seconds to remove the mask.
I gotta tell you this. I want him, well, he's committed suicide, all right. Now, here's the whole thing. I want this guy incarcerated, but if I'm ever doing one of those movies where I have to go to the prison to recruit, I need a knife thrower, I need a master of disguise, I need this guy. This guy's definitely making the cut. He's coming with me. We have that big half-track army jeep thing, the six by-wheeler. He's getting in the back with the canvas roof.
Shorty? I mean, he already has the name. You don't even have to write it.
Shorty. He's the master of disguise. Pretty coming with me.
My feeling was he probably doesn't know the word, but it just feels like so much chutzpah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
he could be Sephardic.
He could be Sephardic. He absolutely could be. But yeah, it's just like, wow, like what? Like, he's sitting there, he's planning his escape, and he's like, he's short, so he can't reach up to the window that he could actually just easily escape out of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So instead, he's like, I'm going to do the most convoluted thing ever. I'm going to have my daughter visit me. I will have a mask created to look like her bald. I'll add a wig on top of it. I'll get the flip-flops in my size.
In the sitcom version of this, one of the guards falls in love with him, and they have to keep the ruse up.
Like
they
very peppy.
She moves into his apartment at some point, taking the mask off. I'm home. Hold on. She's putting the cream all over her face like Mrs.
Doubtfire.
Like, oh, hold on.
Hello.
I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, you interested? Yeah.
Write a spec script. Yeah, I'll let you direct.
You can direct that one.
Every day. Thanks.
All right, let me hit Brooke Lennon. Oh, you spend one third of your life in between the sheets. You want them to be super comfortable, don't you? Brooke Lennon. Luxury linen sheets and robes without the luxury markups. That's right. Founded in 2014 by a husband and wife team who wanted beautiful home essentials and did not want to cost an arm and a leg. So they made their own, and now it's available to you. These things are great. They gave them to me. I put them on my bed, and they feel, it's like sliding into the arms of your mother. Not my mom. Not my mom, but your mom.
Low threat count for you.
Exclusive offer for my listeners. You get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code Corolla at brooklinen.com. All their sheets, comforters, towels come with a lifetime warranty. Only way to get the 10% off and the free shipping is to use the promo code Corolla at brooklinen.com. Brooke Lennon, promo code Corolla. All right, what else we got, Gina Grant?
Well, speaking of movies, there's been talk of a four-hour cut of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and it might be making its way to Netflix. Mm. So according to Esquire, director Quentin Tarantino has a history of releasing longer cuts of his work, tinkering with it a little bit, tinkering with the back catalog. So back in May, he revealed that he has made a 200-minute director's cut of Django Unchained. And a month after his 2015 film, The Hateful Eight, that hit Netflix as a miniseries. I had no idea.
I
missed that completely.
Is that the Adam Sandler movie?
That's
the director's cut.
He also went back over Death Proof and expanded it from half of the double feature Grindhouse. So he has a history of this. For instance, apparently actor Tim Roth, I haven't seen it yet, but actor Tim Roth had his role completely cut from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Theatrical film.
Yeah, and that would be put back in
as
well. I
heard James Marsden's in the movie. There's a bunch of people that
James
were cut.
James Marsden plays Burt Reynolds. He played Burt Reynolds.
Oh. I would watch that.
Yeah.
A Death Proof, we could probably shave that one down a little. But I'd watch Django and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So Django's on Netflix now?
I looked it up and I had a problem finding it. So I don't know if it was up and then was pulled. But I don't know if Chris has that.
Those expire after a while.
Yeah. But I had no idea that that was an option.
I would definitely watch that.
Yeah.
And Marsden got cut because we don't know why. Or
Tim Roth?
Time problem. Tim Roth. It was only 2.5 hours.
No Me Too. What happened to him in it? Didn't he have some Me Too stuff?
I never heard that.
No? Yes?
Think of James Franco?
Oh, Franco. I'm thinking of Franco, yeah. Hmm. What happened to Franco in his Me Too? He just kind of laid low.
Oh, that was brutal. I came around right, like, it was like the week they were doing Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
No, like, it was like the week that, like, ballots were being filled out, or right around there, because, like, he won for the Golden Globe, and he never got nominated for an Oscar. It was a great performance.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It was really, really good. Mm-hmm. Should have got an Oscar nomination. Probably should have won.
And he got Me Too'd, and so he just got shoved out of the Oscars.
Bad timing, man.
And then, but nothing else? Like, I haven't heard any lawsuits or warrants or, like, there's this.
Not been in the news.
He just kind of got general. He kind of generally got Me Too'd. Like, you know, he had some students. He was coaching some young ladies and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Kind of faded away.
It's the guys like that just go, I'll just go away for between 20 and 26 months and then I'll just come back and no one will, there'll be 25 mass shootings in between when I got Me Too'd and now, and everyone's just kind of moved on.
That's what Aziz Ansari did.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of laid
low. But Aziz also apologized.
Right.
He also got a little, they got a little Me Too backfire because the folks that Me Too'd him got backfired on a little bit because everyone was like, okay, this is a little too much.
Clunky
now.
First date.
But it was crazy. Yeah. I mean, babe.net usually puts out such good material, and then with that story, they just totally got it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Babe.net, aka Medium.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. McDonald's new paper straws, they're described as eco-friendly by the big food giant, but guess what? They can't be recycled, according to the BBC. The fast food giant says the new paper straws aren't easy to recycle and should be put into general trash because they're so thick that they can't be processed. Meanwhile, some customers were unhappy anyway because apparently they dissolve in your shake.
Those are the worst.
Nobody wants a paper straw.
Well, the funniest paper straw would be a paper straw that's non-recyclable. That's the worst thing that could be designed.
Yep, the worst of both worlds. Right. A petition is going around. Irate McDonald's customers. There's already 51,000 people who signed it to bring back the plastic straw.
The that's paper hilarious. Straw that can't be recycled is like liver that's bad for you. It's like, this is fucking lose, dude. All right. The thing about, it's always funny when folks like McDonald's are sort of the poster child for big corporate whatever. You know, you kill 2 billion cows a day and blah, blah, blah. And then at some point, you go, we got to rework our stuff and let people think we're down with the cause. And it never quite works. Now, I don't know. Oh, then somebody tweeted me a story about some woman in her aluminum anodized straw, which it looked like the straws that people make their own. Fell off a horse and it like impaled her.
Oh, my God.
Went through her eye socket.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. They are killing people. We have to choose between the humans and the turtles.
I choose life like George Michael. all right. So in terms of being impaled, I'm just going to remove that because you could jog with chopsticks and never come home. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of situations that could happen.
Any utensil.
If you think, if you want to really factor in impaling, anything that's longer than it is wide is capable of impaling you.
Yeah.
That's a good rule of thumb.
And if your thumb like could thumb. Impale right. you if you fell off the horse just the right way. So, I don't know. That's a little force majeure. Yeah. Like, and also, I don't know. Don't drink a slushy when you're on a horse.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. See if you can avoid. Get a boat back for the horse. Either way.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I'd be horrible at her eulogy. But, all right. But at a certain point, I suppose, like the grocery bags, having your own grocery bag, you're just going to have to kind of get your own straw.
Yeah. Well, those little retractable ones.
Okay, so I've theorized this. Why can't, as my straw dissolves, disintegrates in my water or whatever I'm drinking, and I'm in a restaurant, I'm like, why can't this restaurant just have metal straws or stainless steel, just like they have forks and knives and spoons? Like,
they could.
What's the risk? It's just another utensil.
People have a weird relationship with things, and the straw people would announce it's unsanitary to be sucking off the same straw that you're sucking off.
Fork.
No, you're living in a world that makes sense. This is we're now living in a world that doesn't make sense, and you would have trouble getting people over this. Initially.
Yeah.
Because you're used to using a fork at home and then you put it in the dishwasher and then your sister uses the same fork. Then nobody cares. You're sort of trained on that. The straw, we got to get everyone over this hump or something.
I think it's the fact that goes all the way in the mouth. The way I do it. I go about 4 inches in on the straw.
Wait, hold on a second. That's
careful.
That's absurd. I go until you can't see any
that's absurd.
Anodized metal.
You put the straw farther than the fork? That's absurd.
I think we should all be looking at ways to cut back on the general usage of the straw.
Sure.
I think if you took, like, let's say you did, let's just say we had a measurement, you know, like we measure your IQ or we measure how much money you made last year or how many miles do you drive a year or whatever that is. If you showed me somebody and you showed the straw and you put them end to end and you go, this guy has 27 miles of straw use. Or this other guy went around the globe with straw use. I think I could assign an intelligence number to it. I feel like the more time you spend sucking on that thing, the less time you spend doing fruitful studying. Now, look, every once in a while, there's some genius who likes his straw and his stomach. Right. But I think in general, we should be trying to spend a little less time every year sucking down things with a straw. First off, I know the straw people average 41 pounds more than the non-straw people.
That's science.
You're bigger. Yeah. That's hard straw.
That's hard straw science.
From the man who brought you the attack ravens. If you're sucking on a straw all day, you probably got a couple extra pounds on you. If you drink things that are sort of non-straw worthy, like water for the most part, coffee, the non-caloric things, there's a little less of that.
Well, and it's like you say all the time, are glasses and cups broken? Why do you need the straw?
So if you go to a Starbucks, I'll order a coffee. Mm-hmm. But I won't order even iced coffee. I don't really do the straw. I sort of tend to drink it. But I tend not to order items that are straw, frappuccino-y.
The unicorn.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't order if I go to a restaurant, I order a glass of wine or a cocktail or something. I don't do a lot of straws.
Now, it feels like most of the straws that are used and consumed are in fast food, right?
Yeah. I'd say it's
so
more.
Your correlation sounds pretty
more
good.
More fast food. You should really take a look at you and your kids and your relationship with straws, because as I look at it, now look, I'm not calling myself a hero or a genius hero or a super genius hero.
Oh, let us
crusader,
do it.
But I don't think I've sucked off a straw. Like, weeks will go by. Like, I won't go to fast food. I'll have my coffee mug or my can of spritzer water or whatever it is, but I don't tend to do
you
that.
You drink a scotch with a straw?
No. I drink it right out of the jug, man.
I suck off the scotch.
I hook my thumb. I yell, woman, don't bother me now. And I just sit on the porch.
I thought that, dude, when you guys were kids, did you use did you make Twizzler straws where you bite off the ends of the Twizzlers?
Obviously.
I thought Twizzler stock was just going to skyrocket when this whole paper thing came around. That's an edible straw. What's better than that?
Only with 7-Up.
Well, not Twizzlers because we're not animals. We're red vines.
Right.
Oh, all right. Well, I kind of want this interview to end.
Any port in a storm.
Oh, no.
that's just
Brian,
nonsense.
Oh, Brian. I know you have a lot of respect for the man, but this is where you part ways.
In Lee's defense, I think the red vine would dissolve quickly. The red vine is paper straw of the licorice.
As one who did that many times in the movies, that lasted the entire movie. Refills and all. I was a chubby kid.
I think we should just cut back on our straw usage in general. Like, let's make it a challenge yourself not to order the drink when you do the fast food. Yeah. Try that, see where it goes.
Challenge.
And also, see if you can switch over to the metal straw, but again, if you're going out horse jumping,
leave that straw at home.
Leave that straw
at
home.
In the stable.
Leave it in the paddock.
Right. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Let them come.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure, man. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing power. Three times!
Three times, fool!
Stronger fool than leading fool synthetic. aesthetics. It is Castrol Edge. Good Boys, funny film in theaters coming up next Friday, August 16th. It's easy to watch. It's funny all the way through. And the kids are super likable. And the young black kid is really enjoyable. I don't know who he is.
Keith Williams.
Where he came from.
He's Wendy's son.
Oh, damn it.
This is uncomfortable.
Well, you walked right into that.
Well, you dressed him perfectly. he's Wendy's son. All right. So you can go. Oh, Last Man on Earth is where he's from? Oh, okay. He's a real, real funny kid. Anyway, very funny. And in theaters, Good Boys, on Friday, August 16th. So check that out. Go to amcroll.com for all the stuff we're doing. Meme Gods and When We Went Mad, our docs. You can get in on the Mad TV docs and that. Meme Gods doc as well at microventures.com/Adam. Come out to the track. Say hi. Check out Murder Made Me Famous, new podcast on Podcast One as well. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Lee Eisenberg, Gina Grad, and Bold Brian. Say it. Mahalo.
Oh, I get it, because I'm a black woman.
Stick around today's episode of Good Sports. Dave Damaschek and Adam Carolla coming right up.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damaschek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we've been talking about football. We can talk a lot more about football. I do want to point out, oh, by the way, we mentioned yesterday the Hall of Fame game, which launched the next month's worth of preseason games, and it's exciting, and beggars can't be choosers. But it vexes me nevertheless, because people read way too much into it. A warning to any football fan who's getting over their skis about this team's going to be good or that player's going to be great because of what you see in preseason. Reminder, it's all a lie. It's all it just lies to your eyes. By the end of the month, there will be some guy like, oh, that guy's going to be the worst. That guy's going to be the great. Oh, that team's going to the Super Bowl. None of it matters. It's all a great big Civil War reenactment. It only looks like the real thing. It's staged, much like if you go to a Civil War reenactment on the actual grounds of Gettysburg, they wear the uniforms and everything, but they're little tells, if you pay attention, that make you, right?
Well, yeah, I agree, except for there's probably more people of color in the actual NFL than there would be in the Civil War reenactment. I'm well, guessing.
That's
I don't know.
Yeah, there are some of those inconsistencies.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
You aren't sure.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're just asking.
I'm not sure.
Yes.
The Civil War reenactment was done and executed by Holders, I think it would be a more accurate depiction of what we're talking about. But other than that, not the skill position. Wait, when's Hard Knocks starting?
I think this week, right? Tuesday? Next Tuesday? I believe is when it gets going. I can't wait.
The best.
This is the best one of all time. This one can't miss.
It can't miss.
And I don't know if you remember Nate Peterman, who threw four interceptions in one half against the Los Angeles Chargers a couple years ago, and he's kind of shuffled around and had some embarrassing moments. Now John Gruden has declared that he likes Nate Peterman a lot.
Sorry, it started yesterday.
Oh, it started yesterday. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Gruden likes him.
He loves this guy.
Is Gruden's star tarnishing a little bit?
This season will decide that. And besides, they also have to go to Las Vegas still. Now, John Gruden's bought a house in Vegas, and so too has Derek Carr in the same neighborhood, which then is going to make it awkward if John Gruden's like, you're out, or if Derek Carr is like, yeah, I'd rather have another coach if he succeeds. Derek Carr has to have a good year to probably stick with the Raiders into his sixth season. And then Antonio Brown is there, of course, and Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito, who you may recall within the last year, 18 months, his father passed away, and then he got in a fight with the funeral home workers because he wanted to take his father's head.
I heard that. I was hoping there was more to the story than just that.
I think that's enough for me. That's all
it,
I really need to hear
like
about.
Sounds like enough. But other there are times when people shed a little more light on the story.
What would be a satisfying augmentation of that story? So you go like, oh, I get it. Now, makes all sense right. What Richie was looking for.
I'm not here to defend the man. But let's say traffic was heavy, and he wanted to utilize the diamond lane on the way home.
See?
And he wanted the appearance of a second passenger, but obviously it'd be weird to have your dad's entire corpse in the truck, so he probably just wanted to put his head up there.
Yeah, that sounds cumbersome. Can't take in the... Yeah.
Well, obviously that's macabre and bizarre.
I'm sorry.
If you take the whole body.
I went too far.
Right. And then also...
I made it weird.
Yeah. What is it... what constitutes a burial? How does it work? Remember we had that thing, after the Civil War, and they were like, the black man is two-thirds of a man or something like that. In your world, Shaq, when someone is buried, let's just say... The head was cremated and the ashes were scattered out in the open sea, but the body went to Forest Lawn. Where would they reside? Where would their soul reside? Be honest. I'm asking.
I'd like to get a member of the clergy in here, Dad, because that's beyond my means to answer that.
Well, by volume.
Yeah.
By volume, it would be the body.
Based on weight, you're right, yeah.
But... Yeah, as they say, the eyes are the window to the soul.
Well, then you're getting pretty deep there. What's more important, one's heart or one's brain? Or wiener?
The trifecta. We'll never know, but that's going to be a good football camp, man. And I can't wait to watch that.
Bring it back. See, that's what makes you a pro. You knew how to bring it back.
I bring it back. I'm going to be watching. I love it. The best show on TV. If you ask me, like when people go like, The Wire or whatever, and you think about all that, but inside the training camp, right?
Nick Bonacani died last week.
Oh, that's right.
The great linebacker from the no-name defense of the 72 Dolphins, the only team to go undefeated. And more importantly for me was when I was growing up, as the Steelers faded from their dynastic run, the thing that hooked me for the rest of my life was Inside the NFL. Did you have HBO when you were a kid? Enough.
No.
Can't imagine you had HBO. Were you familiar with the show though?
Oh yes.
It was all that music with Sam Spence and then
great.
Harry Callis with the voiceovers, and Bonacani and Lenny Dawson were the hosts. And this was in an era, like we talked about with Cosell a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Football, where you just didn't, kids cannot relate at all to the idea, the notion that, yeah, you saw two games every week. So you saw four teams, and one was your local team standardly. So that was it. And you didn't know what the other teams even looked like.
You know, for a no-name defense and a sort of no-name team, the Nick Bonacani's, Ed Marinaro had an acting career. He was like in Hill Street Blues and stuff like that. Of course, Zonka's always been kicking around and Kick's, I don't know where Kick's kicking around, but Shula's always been around.
Mercury Morris is a prominent figure.
Greasy's been around. Like they've had a lot of guys around.
Greasy spent time in the booth, and in fact, you could make a pretty compelling case that his son, has a career in the media because of some association with the old man.
I would say for a group, and I get it, the extra spotlight for the undefeated season, as a group, guys have been pretty prominent, pretty much, slid behind the scenes, been out there, to see like Larry Zonka doing commercials, and again, Ed Marinero, he
was on that team, Ed Marinero, from Hill Street Blues?
I think Ed Marinero was on that team, the 72 team. Dylan's going to have to look it up because I know you may not know it offhand, but I think Ed Marinero was on the team. Nobody had 80s hair like Ed Marinero from Hill Street Blues, but I think he was on that team, yeah.
Yeah, I know he was a football player. I see that's what's a fun for a football nerd little bit of irony is number 13, the greatest legend in Dolphins history, of course, Dan Marino, played in one Super Bowl and lost. But number 13 of the Miami Dolphins was a Super Bowl MVP, Jake Scott, with two picks in Super Bowl 7. Very nice.
Some credit for that. Ed Marinaro, what? Where did he play?
Vikes, Jets, Hawks.
Oh,
I didn't even know he lasted that long.
He entered the league in 72.
Two-time NFC champ.
That Vikes, Jets, but he never played on the Dolphins, huh?
All
interesting.
Right. Did score six touchdowns.
But he entered the league the year they went unbeaten. Boy, and I got to tell you, that unbeaten thing has lasted longer than I thought it would have with a couple of pretty damn... I mean, those years... I mean, Super Bowl with the Patriots, that's nuts. With the Giants, that's crazy. Maybe even crazier is Miami and Chicago Bears, the year they were destroying everybody in the craziness of that game in Miami.
Yeah, that one was a crazy result. Then again, if you really want to go down that rabbit hole, in 85, that's a great defense. And, they had Walter Payton at the tail end of his career. Jim McMahon was a meh quarterback in hindsight. Their best receiver was Willie Gault, who was a sprinter, who was fine at best as an NFL pass catcher. And I dare say, and in fact, I will say, I'm courageous enough, I will say it, what happened in Miami, what the football gods deprived us of was a rematch in the Super Bowl, because the Patriots, before they were actually good, Mosey Tatupu and Craig James and Steve Grogan went down to Miami. Marino and company overlooked the game. It rained in the AFC title game, and the Patriots impossibly won the game. It would have been Marino against the Bears again on the fast track of the Dome. If he could do it on the grass of Miami, he would have replicated that feat in the big game, Super Bowl 20. There would be no lore about the great Chicago Bears of 85.
Well, now you sound like Lynette.
Let me continue to do that, because I know if there's one thing Lynette likes to caution everybody about, it's about protecting your information. You don't, in the 21st century, I don't have to tell you about all the awful stories out there, people breaking in and sabotaging your life and that is held on the computer. So here comes LifeLock, everybody. It's a database one of these stories is a database belonging to a Chinese smart home device company was left exposed. It included more than 2 billion logs containing everything from user passwords to account reset code. So many threats in today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for the criminals to get in. When personal information is exposed, someone could use it to commit identity theft. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect you against the threats to your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. Tell us a little bit more, will you, Kaylin?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code ADAM for 10% off your first year. That's promo code ADAM at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Expertly done. We'll be back with more hot sports talk for you tomorrow. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out.
Follow Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on everything. Go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.